ask for guidance. Dr. Robert Schuller says, I shall always remember the night I was called to make a hospital call on John Wayne, a veteran film actor. He was to be operated on in the morning for what was feared to be cancer. I prayed for divine guidance all the way to the hospital. Should I come right out and ask my friend Duke John Wayne if he was prepared to meet God? I was strongly led to reject that approach. Should I ask, are you saved and forgiven? And if you die tonight, will you go to heaven? The answer came clearly, no, that was not what you were to say. Then I heard the still small voice that I identify as the Holy Spirit of the living Christ. It said to me, simply bring Jesus Christ into the mind of John Wayne. He'll accept or reject Christ. That is what it's all about. When I arrived at the hospital, I found the famous actor lying on the bed, clad only in his shorts. We talked, we related. Then I asked, Duke, may I pray for you? His response came immediately. You bet, Bob. I need all the help I can get. I recall seeing his eyes closed tightly, this rugged face taut with tension as I prayed. Without planning or plotting or contriving to manipulate, I heard the following words come from my mouth. Lord, John Wayne knows about you. He has heard about you all his life. He admires you. He respects you. And deep down, he knows that you can and want to forgive him of all of his sins. Deep down in his mind, he accepts you and believes in you and loves you now. At that point, I opened my eyes to see the face of John Wayne as possibly no other person has ever seen it, peaceful as an Easter sunrise. All the tension was gone. And there's absolutely no evidence of embarrassment, spiritual uneasiness, or psychological discomfort. Beyond a doubt, I spoke the right words, and he followed them without resistance and with sincere appreciation. What you just heard me do is share Dr. Robert Schuller's story, but I think it's a bigger story than that. I think it's a story of every man. Every one of us is going to be asked to get up close and personal to somebody when they're transitioning out of life. And it may be the most spiritual time ever in our experience, because in the hospice movement, which is a movement about dying with dignity, dying with respect, dying with compassion, the statement is that you ought to hold another's hand while they're leaving physical form and going back to pure spirit or pure light. And what happens is each and every one of us is going to do that ourselves sometime, and we want to usher somebody else out. And the best way to do that is help somebody when they're here. Jack and I have had the great privilege of befriending a lot of the people in the death and dying movement, everyone from Dr. Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, who held the hand of 20,000 people who died, and Dr. Stephen Levine. Jack just introduced him at a breakfast at American Booksellers. And it's very touching, because if you only knew you had a year to live, what would you do is a question that Stephen Levine asked us at breakfast. And if you really knew you were going to be dust 365 days and then tomorrow 364 days later, you start to reprioritize it. You start to make spiritual stuff matter. You're starting to hire the glory of who you are. You wake up to the divinity that's within, the God within, and that wholeness. Now, all of us have so many holes. Our friend Dr. Gene Houston says that most of us are holy. What we've tried to do in this program with question asking, storytelling, and relating as high and deep and wide as we can is to make you awake to the fact that you are all that you could want to be if you just ask yourself some of the right questions and ask for higher guidance. Another thing you can do is ask for a healing. When we came out with Chicken Soup for the Surviving Soul, we were dedicated to 101 Ways to Beat Cancer, because one of our staff parents had cancer, and it looked like they were going to die. And then all of a sudden they started reading our stories, and they started having sort of a miraculous cure, what is called psychoneuroimmunology, where you change the imprint at a cellular level at the trillions of cells that you have in your body, and it starts to change at the quick of your genes and chromosomes, and you get well. And what happened is that Jack and I said, well, why don't we have a healing conference for all the people that are victims of cancer but ended up becoming victors because they overcame it? And we hired some of the best talent on the planet to come and be with us. And one of those doctors that just wowed the soul of every person there was our friend Dr. Larry Dawsey. Now, Larry's written a lot of books. He's an oncologist from Dallas. He's written a book called Prayer Can Change Your Life, and it came to him because he was working with patients dying of cancer. And sometimes he said, do you want the medical route, or is there another route that you want to take? Because he was at least that big and that open. And some of the people said, look, in our religious system, we do not allow chemotherapy, radiation, or surgery. So what we're going to do is just pray our way well. Well, the first time this happened, Larry thought it was an anomaly because all the church people came and they started holding hands and praying and invoking God, but the people got well. So Larry watched this a couple more times and said, look, there must be something to it. And seeing as at that juncture he wasn't going to church, he said, I'm going to investigate. So he started checking it out, and what he discovered to his absolute amazement is that anybody that prays gets results. It doesn't matter whether you're a Christian, a Buddhist, a Zoroaster, a Muslim, or whatever. Prayer works. He then said, well, wait a second. If it works in all the different spiritual systems, would it work in people that are not spiritual? So he tested out with atheists and agnostics, and prayer still works. So the higher power resonates, even though you might have some resistance to it. Now, to me, that was just an absolute amazement. That's a breathtaking piece of information. Now, there's a couple levels of it. First of all, you can pray alone. Second of all, you can pray for another. When Jack was in the hospital with gallstones, and later they took out his gallbladder, and he was in high pain, and I was on the road, we stayed in daily communication, and I said, look, Jack, I teach people to say, I am healthy, which we learned from our friend Dr. Deepak Chopra, that at levels of quarks, bisons, and leptides, instantaneously it turns green, and the coloration of healing goes. I said, but when I was in India and I had amoebic dysentery and other diseases, the guru taught me that you could literally take your pain and emanate it 2 feet out of your body and just let it be there so you don't have to do it. But in the Christian model that you and I reside in, the way to do it, the highest power coming out of Pauline literature, is to say, God in me is my health right here, right now. So I'm going to ask you to write a sign and put it next to your bed in the hospital that says, God in me is my health right here, right now, and sign your name to it. And mentally, while I'm on the road and I can't be with you right this exact minute, I'm going to sign my name to it. And sure enough, his pain abated. Now, the third way to do it is that you get a group to do it for you. And sometimes this is what are called telephone trees. And some churches and temples and synagogues have everybody praying and treating and practicing. It works. I ask you to test it because there's no downside to it. Let me just do one other little bonus point on praying for healing, and that is this. I teach that you can rub up your hands, right hand to left hand, rub them back and forth, and if you do it vigorously for about 30 seconds and you pull apart, most people, somewhere in a high 90 percentile, can feel energy. And then you can keep expanding it until the energy band breaks and you bring it back and you can feel the energy again. Then you can rub up and send it towards another person's hands and they can feel the energy. And some people have energy that's so high that it can push over another person. I was doing a seminar at a big church in Denver, so it was really going to be packed that day. Well, 8 o'clock in the morning, I arrived. The minister there is one of the funniest guys on the whole planet, and he has a little girl standing behind him with scoliosis, and I could see that she'd been under so much chemo that her hair had all been out, and she was wearing an orange head wrap. He said, do you know about the Make-A-Wish Foundation? I said, I sure do. I said, that's where terminally dying kids get to make a wish and have it come true. He said, well, this little girl's got terminal leukemia, will be gone in 3 days, and her wish is to hear you as a speaker because one of your friends gave her your tapes and to make her laugh and cry and decided to live. Well, that afternoon, we had the place packed. We had to paint them on the walls. It was SRO, sold out. And for some reason, I thought about this healing process, and while I am not the one that healed her with the healing hands, the audience did because all the research of Dr. Leonard Lasko, who wrote The Healing Power of Love, who he's a medical doctor, says that all of us have it, but 5% of us have it automatically, where energy just shoots out of what's called your hand chakra, your hand energy zone. And I had the whole audience rub up. I brought this little girl up on stage with her permission. I just stood behind her, reflected the energy. If there are 1,000 people there in the natural energy flow, 5% of them were natural healers. All of them had healing potential. Some of them were releasing it because they had tears in their eyes, and they really wanted to serve this little girl. You send that energy as a group, and it literally heals people. It uplifts them. It exalts them. It takes them to a new place. It has an energy shift. Lasko told me one time over a dinner that he says, under 100,000 magnifications in his microscopes up at Stanford Laboratories, where he is on the faculty, he has been able to split DNA and RNA with his hands. Now, is there power in healing-handedness? Yes. Is there agglutinated, maximized, synergetic, serendipity power when you got a whole group? I think it is a giant yes, spelled with a giant Y, a giant E, and a giant S, and an exclamation mark.
In this domain of asking a higher power, you could even ask an emissary for a higher power. Many of us experience angels in our life. In her best-selling book, Embraced by the Light, Betty Eady states that during her near-death experience in 1973, she saw angels rushing to answer prayers. She says they were filled with much love and joy by their work. These prayers appeared to be beacons of light, illumination of small penlights and sparks shooting up from the earth. I was distinctly told that all prayers of desire are heard and answered, she continues. I understood that once our prayers of desire have been released, we need to let go of them and trust in the power of God to answer them. He knows our needs at all times and is simply waiting for an invitation to help us. He has all power to answer prayers, but he is bound by his own law and by our wills. We must invite his will to become our own. We must trust him. Once we have asked with sincere desire, doubting nothing, we will receive.